listening to Inclusive AF with Jackie Clayton and Katie Van Horn.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Inclusive AF podcast. This is Jackie Clayton.
And this is Katie Van Horn in freezing cold Arizona. Freezing.
You know, is that what, you know, I wanted to say, Katie, every time I say in you the introduction, you pause just a little bit longer. And I think it might be because of your shivers from 70 degrees or below.
It's 57 right now. It is so freaking cold. Yes. And also it's supposed to rain here because like the rest of the US, we have these random weird storms going on that I don't even understand what's happening. But alas, very excited to have my day with you, Jackie, because I miss you so much. I don't get a lot of quality time with you. And also because we have an awesome guest today. So, you know, we like to do a lot around tools, HR tools, right, Jackie, and tools that are about diversity, equity, and inclusion.
Yes.
And this one, I think, is kind of, it's a little bit different, but I actually think it's very, very interesting. And I think it absolutely kind of falls in line with how do we become more inclusive. And so, Andres, I would love for you to introduce yourself and share a little bit about, you know, kind of your background, and then we'll dig in on what you're working on, all that good stuff.
Yeah, certainly. Hello, everyone. My name is Andres, and I'm the founder and CEO of Tardi. I'm from Ecuador originally, but have been in the States for 17 years. And now I live in Arizona, and I'm freezing too.
Well, I have
wearing actually a jacket before, but I just took it off, so I look better.
I wanted to ask you, say you're from Ecuador. I know you've been in the States for 17 years, but what part of Ecuador are you from?
I'm from Quito, the capital, the mountains. And yes, I was used to cold weather, but not anymore. That was my previous life.
Yeah, understood. It's a beautiful part of the country. I've been to Guayaquil, Ecuador. Okay. We almost went to keto. We tried to do all the things, but we didn't get as far as keto.
Interesting. Yeah, it's a beautiful country, little. I just went to visit my grandma before she died. She was actually 99.
Yes. Oh, wow.
Exactly. That's why I went, because I knew it was coming soon. So I just went, say goodbye, love her, and came back. And anyhow, it was just wonderful. I haven't been there in a while, but anyhow.
Well, glad you got a chance to do that. And I'd love to know more about your product and what it does. Tell us more about Tardi.
Yes, certainly. So Tardi actually is a Quechua word, which is the language that the Incas used to speak. And as a native Ecuadorian, I wanted to have a deeper meaning behind the company that I was building. And it means gathering, so meetings. But initially, I started to build, it was a middle of COVID 2021, a friend of mine called me and is like, hey, my team is burning out. They are like having thousands of meetings, help me do something. And I had a couple other companies that kind of gave me some freedom and some time to do that. So I start talking to people and different HR leaders and cultures and backgrounds. And it was like, what is the one thing you would do to improve employee well-being or help your employees? And everybody's like, fewer meetings. I'm like, oh, really? Everybody hates meetings. What a new thing, you know? So I was like, well, why nobody has ever done anything about this? So initially, we started to build this meeting effectiveness, meeting efficiency software. But as we were talking to people, honestly, I realized that there was a much bigger problem. And myself being a minority and working for large organizations, I have felt that pain, and I have been in that situation where sometimes my ideas weren't considered, or I didn't have the chance to speak up just because the same individuals will lead the meetings or will never kind of get everybody the chance to kind of speak up. So as I'm talking to my team and I'm like, could we do something about that? It's like, yeah, let's do it. So that's where really kind of Tardi came about. And really our goal is to empowering every voice to speak up. And no matter their background, no matter their race, gender, or their communication style, everybody should have a chance to be considered and be heard in meetings. And our goal is to create a category that we're calling it meeting equity. And that's so Tardy.
When you say, I would love to know, like, when you started doing your research, started looking into this, was there any commonalities that you found amongst meetings? Was it like, whether women or men that were talking more, or different groups depending on tenureship? What were you finding was inequitable in looking at meetings?
Yeah, certainly. So initially, as I told you, like, I was focusing on effectiveness. So like, our goal was to eliminate bad meetings. As we all know, most of them are unproductive. Actually, research shows that 71% of them are unproductive. And so, you know, that's 3/4 of them. But as I'm doing, and one of our advisors, he's one of the world's renowned meeting scientists. So as we were kind of approaching this, and he's like, listen, nobody has ever done any research on meeting equity. And I'm like, what? Why not? He's like, because I guess it's not important to most people. And I'm like, how could it not be? It's like, we're not just talking about, you know, gender races. Like, we're talking about just different styles and people communicating. So anyways, as I'm doing these, you know, I found research and actually shows, there was a McKinsey research that shows that women and minority groups are interrupted 50% more of the time than men in meetings. So then, you know, we're like, okay, we need to start doing something about this. And I guess I'll tell you something, and maybe I told Kate in my first conversation. Whenever, you know, I was raised by a kind of single mom, very strong woman, and my wife is a powerhouse, and my daughter is a dynamo. So now that I have, you know, been son, husband, and father, I'm like, woman, I always was, you know, woman team, but now I'm like pushing and really trying to support in everything that I can, you know, gender equality. And to me, that was one of the drivers into creating this. You know, women and minority groups compile 71% of the workforce, but sometimes we are considered the minorities. So anyhow, so, you know, I could bore you with all research, and we spend the 45 minutes here talking about research, because now I love kind of researching and finding these. But, you know, please ask me any other questions that you think that will be relevant for these.
Yeah. So I well, if you're asking Jackie and I, we could spend 45 minutes on the research, because that's where both those data nerds. But I would love to hear, you know, how does it actually work? Like, what does it do? And how does this tool truly help build more inclusive teams and more inclusive meetings?
Yeah, certainly. So one of the important elements is that there is this saying, you grow what you measure. And one of those elements that, you know, in all these DEI initiatives, so these, you know, inclusion and diversity and equitable, you know, like initiatives, most organizations, and again, I'm going to go on research because I love that, because I'm basing that on this, 100% of Fortune 100s have DEI initiatives. Now, does that mean that actually they work? Probably not. They are focusing on most of the initiatives, and I talked to a bunch of DEI leaders. There is too many initiatives, and the problem with those two initiatives is that they are not measurable and quantifiable. So now you talk to finance and operations and CEOs, and they are like, well, why are we throwing a bunch of money into something whenever there is no return? It's all, you know, fluff and emotions, and there is no return on that investment. So to me, it was like, well, if we can help organizations measure those initiatives, track their progress, and in fact, put people accountable to grow those, then we are doing our job. Then we are becoming an ally to those people, because now they can not only say, well, we can see a workforce that is more diverse, but now you can see the progress. Are they engaged? Are they more productive? Are they actually belonging in the organization and then providing, you know, results? So, you know, I guess going into the solution, we take a 4-step approach. The first one is awareness. because you don't know what you don't know. And that's, for me, one of the biggest elements. You know, I was talking to somebody and I'm like, if you go on this highway and it doesn't tell you, you know, like 75 or 65 miles per hour, you just go the speed that you want, right? So just even one little sign can give you that consciousness of, oh, shoot, we are spending, you know, I don't know, $5,000 a day in meetings. And those meetings are actually not including any diverse workforce. They are not including people that are, you know, maybe junior, or that they are not, or there is no woman, or that there is no that. So that's the baseline. We give you measurements on things that most of us are not measuring. Then the second step is insights. We tell you what is driving that inefficiencies and those behaviors. And it could be, well, meetings that happen on Monday are driven by male in their 50s, you know, and we are measuring those elements. And our goal, again, is never point a finger, but create this consciousness, because if you don't know what's happening, then you cannot address those elements. And then, you know, one of the biggest things for us was, well, if we give information, what can DI leaders do? They can do a lot, but sometimes it's overwhelming with the amount of data and information that we got. So how about we implement behavioral science into helping people transform that behavior? And that's what we're doing. In the third step is action, helping people go from A to B to C. And then the fourth one, we call it automation, and is utilizing AI to help people kind of go into those best practices. And the system will say, hey, is your meeting inclusive? And, you know, you can review it. Or is your meeting not letting everybody participate? So anyhow, so that's what we do.
I think that, you know, the reason why I like this tool, and I think it's such a critical piece, is that, you know, the most basic of DEI, and, you know, the conversation that we had, even when it was back, you know, when folks were just starting to kind of think about this, and it was mostly women, and quite honestly, mostly white women, they were talking about, obviously, the tech industry, it was, you know, you have engineers who are introverted, that type of thing. And so I like that this tool is really looking at not just one piece, but multiple pieces of how does everyone feel included, who is speaking the most, all of these different pieces, and just being able to have, like you said, those little data points for that awareness, for that consciousness of what's going on. Like, I just think that's such a critical piece. And you know, I know you've showed me a demo of it, so I've seen, you know, some of the basics of it, to say, like, it's just a click of a button to say, this is what's going on in this meeting, this is what's happening, that kind of thing. And the piece that I truly gravitated towards, and I know we talked about this, is also the, here's a solution. So that third piece that you talked about is not just, here's the information, but what do we do with it? What does that mean? Or how can that, you know, translate to action for the leader that sees it? And I think that's one of the pieces that, to your point, when we talk about DEI, you know, we always talk about, what are the metrics? Okay, so demographic data, yes, of course, engagement scores or ENPS, and, you know, employee net promoter score. But to have these little bits of information throughout the day, throughout the week, throughout the month, throughout the year, it also keeps DEI front of mind for everyone. So it's not just a, oh, HR is doing this thing over here. All of us are involved. All of us are participating, and all of us have an awareness. And what we do with that, you know, obviously we probably have leaders that maybe don't do anything, but, you know, the hope is that obviously we would have folks that take action and use some of the actions that you suggest to say, how do we move this conversation forward, become more inclusive, do what we need to do to make sure the right folks are on the call or in the room, whatever you want to call it. So I really appreciate that you're thinking about that, because I think it's something that not a lot of folks think about. So, you know, I just think it's a great tool. How has this been received by folks? What's the, you know, as you're meeting with people, as you're, you know, talking to organizations, how are they receiving what you're working on?
We are gathered here today to give you permission to plan the wedding that you want. I'm Jessica Bishop.
And I'm Sari Wienerman.
And we're the hosts of the Bouquet Toss podcast.
Today's couples have to juggle so many things, from family expectations to outdated traditions and what's currently trending.
So to make it easier, we're going deep to figure out why we do weddings the way that we do, so you can decide what to keep and what to toss from your wedding day plans.
You are cordially invited to subscribe to the Bouquet Toss wherever you get your podcasts or at evergreenpodcast.com.
By the power vested in us, we pronounce you free to plan your day your way.
I think it is a lot of people are like in shock because meetings is kind of like this necessary evil that organizations think we have to have. But if you think about it, is the activity that is most time consuming throughout our, you know, professional life. So if we are measuring that, and that gives us, you know, 50% of the kind of snip of the full picture of what's happening, then, you know, I guess, you know, to answer your question, people are kind of impressed of how maybe nobody has done that before. And then too is like they really want to kind of get their hands on these into testing it, because again, it's like if you see these amazing toys, like you want to actually test it, try it, and see how, you know, how it can help you. But yeah, you know, like for us, it's like we're getting a lot of reception and a lot of people kind of interested in these. It just has to be for us a specific organization, in the sense of like who actually wants to drive transformation. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, you ladies both are involved in this world, and it's like most of the time these are like, you know, kind of snips in here there, and everybody's excited, and then the next day it kind of dies off. Mm-hmm. But I was, you know, I actually put a lot of thought in this and our team into how we can do something that helps transform not just, you know, a group, but the whole culture of the organization. So I guess sometimes, you know, to go to answer a little bit of your question, is people are sometimes overwhelmed into how do we implement this, because it doesn't rely only on the chief DI officer. Mm-hmm. It has to be a cultural approach. It has to be a buy-in kind of initiative from the whole organization. So anyhow, I guess, you know, overall it's good reception. It's just we're trying to work with those leaders into how we, you know, from the messaging, from the onboarding, from the element of how people don't feel that they are being, you know, kind of monitored, but it's like how this tool is actually helping their day-to-day life into creating a more inclusive culture.
I love that you say that, because I had, let's just say, an animated conversation with someone who was telling me that someone was going to write some information about DEI, and they wanted some quotes. And I was like, oh, well, who's writing the article? What's their experience with DEI? And they said, can't they just Google it? And I said, no, what you Google is wrong. That's how the algorithm works. That's why nobody's doing it. And it's this innovation that we have to do of things that we haven't tried and measuring things that we may not have measured. I mean, as soon as I figured out that's what you do, I feel enormously ineffective, right? I'm in meetings all day, which is why I'm always 2 minutes late for every meeting, because it's like back to back to back. And then you have to give your hugs and kisses and goodbyes. For some reason, takes 2 minutes. It always takes 2 minutes when we close it down. And sometimes everyone, especially when you have meetings with your team, maybe once a week, maybe twice a week, and the leader of these groups are giving everything that they know is important, can monopolize all of the time and not get the true underlying message. And it just seems really important to be able to make those things aware, because you're really missing, if you're not getting everyone a voice, you are missing on the innovation that you can have by having all of these different voices come together.
Oh yeah, 100%. You know, and somebody asked us, and this comment has a purpose, is like, who's your competitor? I'm like, surveys.
Yeah.
What? Like, yeah, because that's, you know, that's how we're measuring this engagement. And you're making, you're asking people, are you feeling included? Are you feeling that you belong to this team and all those stuff? And, you know, let's be honest. Most of the time, whenever I was working for large corporations, I was like, yeah. No, just to make sure that they wouldn't tell me that I'm like just going. And then I'm like, I will forget, because surveys, one, are inefficient. And then two, sometimes we don't even trust that our leaders will do something with that information. So, you know, that's kind of really what I wanted to do, is like give people an understanding in real time of how engaged their team is. And at the same time, at the end of the meeting, we actually ask a question, was this meeting inclusive? So you are getting both their engagement, but also a survey that is in that very moment. So you feel, you know, kind of you're being honest into how you're feeling in that exactly, you know, conversation.
Absolutely. And Jackie, I love what you said on the, you know, how many times have you been in a all hands meeting? And like for me in all hands, I'm like, no, I want to hear from the frontline employees what's really going on. But yeah, a lot of those times it is a report out from the executives. And so you do miss the what's really going on and how is this experience for folks, and especially folks that are underrepresented. I think there is this assumption, and we talk about this in DEI all the time, that whatever my experience is in an organization, it's the same as everybody else's, which is completely false and inaccurate information. And so, however you can keep the pulse of how was this meeting for you? Was it inclusive for you? Did you feel like you could contribute? All of these things, where I think that there is just such a need for those, again, like in your face reminders all the time for leaders of, here right now, I can tell from that meeting we just had an hour ago, what was the consensus or what did people feel about that? That's how you start to make change actually real for folks, I think.
Yeah, 100%. I agree.
And if you're just having all, I mean, I think part of the reason that it's been going on like this forever is because it's been going on like this forever. Like people mistake productivity with being busy or having a full calendar without being able to realize what we're doing. And it feels like there's so many, you know, because when we get down to like diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging, all of these, you know, words that we throw out there, it's really trying to make sure that we understand each other and we aren't distracted and we can get to the business that we need to do. And I would say, one of the things that I say to organizations when I talk to them are like, are you doing a system that you can tie back to your last company and the last company and the one before that? It's probably the wrong system, right? And it doesn't mean that you are wrong. It is following the programming that was not invented, bespoke for your organization and your goals is probably not, you know, we're taking these blanket approaches that everyone's doing and then wondering why we're not getting better results or different results. And I think that you could probably go a lot, you know, you've probably gone really deep, but you could probably go even deeper on who is speaking, what are the common topics that are I think about breaking it down again, because Katie and I are data nerds. Like I'd be interested in seeing how many things, even like when they are forced to say, hey, we didn't listen to these three people. Now they're listening to these three people. Are they implementing the things? Like there's going to be a hidden bias behind somebody who, you know, maybe they don't have a lot of passion behind what they say. And it's interesting, the bias that goes into effect. I went to a meeting once and the person there was from marketing. Everyone was excited to meet this marketing guru, and the marketing person gets on the phone and they said, I usually get feedback that I don't sound excited, but I'm really excited. And I just started cracking up because they were trying so hard to show that they were really excited. Meanwhile, I scream and like applause a fly because I'm just like, woo! Like I get excited about everything, even if it's inconsequential. And then people still came off of that saying, they didn't seem really excited, you know, because you have your own biases that have gone into play. And that becomes the distraction of being able to accept those messages, of realizing, you know, we need to take all of these things seriously, regardless of delivery. And I don't think that people also put into play, there are different disabilities where that is the impact. You know, my mother is suffering with Parkinson's and she's in the last stage of life. And as a part of it is losing your voice, being unable to speak, being able, unable to be heard because you don't have those things in your voice. And that doesn't mean that you don't have ideas, right? And I imagine there's others besides Parkinson's where that could be a side effect. And we just don't realize that we're not keeping those people in mind.
Certainly. And, you know, one of the important elements that for us, yes, although it was one of the elements that, you know, all of us talk about racial and race and gender. Diversity is like, what about neurodiversity? What about people that don't feel comfortable speaking? What about the people that only want to chat or that, you know, want to send you a report after the meeting just because they are? So we are measuring those elements too, in the sense of like how we're considering participation. You know, I remember in college, it's like, you know, the teacher will count participation and you will have to just say your name and a couple phrases and like, okay, you participated, you get 5%. So it's like, how are we bringing those same practices into the workplace where we think that somebody just said one idea and then it's like, well, you got forgotten? You know, how are we implementing those? So we are, for us into the next, you know, phases of the platform, we want to integrate into project management tools, into selling enablement tools. So in that way, you actually know and said, okay, Mary that spoke at this meeting and it seems that she's getting engaged, was she assigned this project? And now we can actually track the whole process throughout and providing leaders and said, oh, yeah, Mary, that is a minority. And, you know, now she's able to not only be engaged, but contribute and provide an ROI to the organization because she's been included in this.
Well, that especially, I think, is important for folks who have been overlooked. So that, you know, you have folks that are contributing, but it's always the loudest voice or the person that's most energetic or, you know, kind of to Jackie's point. And so it is, you know, are you losing those bad or losing those good ideas because someone is more reserved or because someone is only sharing at one time or whatever that might be? And I like this idea of kind of that project management piece of, are you actually highlighting those folks who are excited and coming up with ideas and throwing things out there, regardless of what their approach is, so you can give them opportunities that they maybe wouldn't have exposure to. And I like one of the things, and I want to go back to this just a little bit, that you shared about culture and the change in culture by using this tool, because I think that's something that's just so critical as well, that when you have this awareness, it's the, you know, the whole idea of, you know, once you see it, you can't unsee it. And I think that's such a critical piece for leaders as well. And we know that culture is really driven by, you know, your least engaged employee. And we know, you know, a lot of these different things. And if you have this awareness happening in a different way that it maybe has before, the changes to your culture could be enormous and it could be, you know, just super positive. And I would love for you to talk a little bit more about that, just the, you know, kind of the culture piece and how that impacts the culture.
Yeah, certainly. You know, I think that sometimes but society or the kind of workforce associates culture and DEI to these intangible things that have no correlation to productivity or, you know, benefits or financial benefits organization. Well, in all reality, it's completely the opposite, you know, but unfortunately, most of these, I guess, leaders in the past, because of all sentiment and fluff, and have never been able to kind of create an actual measurement of how does implementing that. So now, if we're talking about cultural approach and cultural, you know, changes, is like, let's talk about, you know, kind of generations that are coming into the workplace. I see all through LinkedIn about the Gen Z and how they are wanting to do this, and how it's like one of the biggest elements that they want is like if an organization doesn't focus on DEI initiatives, they don't want to work for those organizations. So we're talking about now not only the present, but the future of the company and how that company has to think about what is going to bring us, you know, the next wave of talent that will be included, you know, in our growth. So, you know, for us, really, our goal is to walk through this transformation with leaders into understanding, because although we build the solution, Jackie mentions, like, we don't pretend that one approach fits all sizes and all organizations. So it's working really through with these leaders into understanding what is working for them and what is not, and what would they like to see in a tool that helps them measure and provides that kind of real, you know, transformation into the whole organization. So, and I finish my comment with this. One of the important things is that, you know, COVID really brought HR and DEI to the top, which, you know, unfortunately had to take a pandemic for the life of the organization to be cared and to be listened to. But, you know, now that we are at this and in this situation, I really hope that we're able to really, you know, push through and empower those leaders with tools and just trainings that help them become more effective. But I think one of the biggest elements and how we're going to continue this wave is to bring in measurement and monitoring to all initiatives. Because in the moment that we just leave it into, it's nice to implement and people are feeling good about it, that doesn't bring any results and transformation.
You might be surprised to know that not all serial killers are straight cisgender white men. And the victims of true crime are not a monolith either. She's Wendy and I'm Beth. And together we host Fruit Loop's Serial Killers of Color, a true crime podcast.
Together we take deep dives into the true crime stories about marginalized and minoritized perps and victims that often go untold.
We also provide the context and nuance that these stories deserve. At Fruit Loops, we're serving up true crime with a side of history, society, culture, and some fun.
Listen to Fruit Loop Serial Killers of Color on Spotify, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you nailed it with the, you know, COVID and all of these other things. So many folks are working remotely. And so there is this like lack of touch point that the managers have as well. They're not seeing folks at lunch or by the water cooler or whatever it might be. So the more we can drive this information feed or this download of, hey, what's really going on? What's the pulse of the team? All of that stuff. And, you know, to your point, you could do a survey every 6 months or whatever, but if you want real-time information, this is the way to do it. So, yeah, it's very, very interesting.
Well, I think they don't, you know, look, I'm going to really try not to get on a soapbox. But the thing that makes me so frustrated is when we have organizations that need to change, they ask the people, right? And then if things are hard or they have hard times, then they ask the CFO what choices they should make in order to, like, where do they need to cut? They'll look at things like, you know, what software people are using or how many people are in various departments. And you seem to have 20% more than every other department. So you should be able to cut more people without looking at actual effectiveness. And it can't be based on one person if you're not measuring it. And so that's what makes me really frustrated. It's because we have to be able to do the measurement. And I think going to the point that we were talking about earlier, when you have all these organizations that have these initiatives that they're trying to meet without measurement or without fully understanding the commitment that they made, then how real are these initiatives that people are having? They can't, they're not real. But I think it's going to be, I think what's funny is that I am the overtalker in the meeting. Like, that's me. And my favorite people are always the quietest people in the meeting, because I can talk to them during the meeting and not get in trouble because they're quieter. They'll say it, and I'll always say, or I'll say, do you want me to say something? Or, you know, you're like, do you like, let's stop, everybody stop and pay attention to this person to be an ally in the room for people who don't have the voice. But I feel like, you know, there's magic there in being able to share the information. I think, I don't know. I just think it's fascinating.
Yeah. I'll tell you one amazing fact and actually research based on this. Guess how many, what is the percentage of managers that are training to have meetings? 15%.
I was going to say like zero.
And we're just talking. So only 15%. So let's talk about an organization that is 100 people. And let's say that, you know, there is like 15 managers, like five of them are the only ones that actually know how to have meetings. The rest doesn't even have an idea. So, you know, we're talking about this inclusion and this effectiveness of meetings, but it's like, how we expect the rest to know what to do whenever managers don't even know? You know, it's such a like a wonderful and amazing opportunity that I see, is that this is, you know, kind of how we can help organizations. But it doesn't come from the bottom up. It comes from the top. Mm-hmm. It has to come from the top.
Well, and that sets the culture, right? Whatever they pull out of those meetings sets the culture.
Well, I also, like what you just said, I think is so spot on, Andres. Like how many leaders, like I know that all of us aspire to teach every new manager all the things that they would ever need to know, including, you know, how to do an effective one-on-one, how to lead an effective meeting, all of these things. But for the most part, they probably haven't been taught those tools or taught how to have a meeting that is inclusive and does make sure that everyone has a voice and all of these things. And so the more we can give them those tools, every manager I know of, every leader that I know of is like, yes, show me how to do this the right way. It's not an affront to them or like you said, it's not finger pointing, you know, that you said that earlier. And I think that's the piece too, that's such a critical part of it, is managers want to do a good job. Managers, you know, for the most part, I should say, but most managers want to do a good job and want to make sure that all of their team members feel good. And if you can help them in any way, what a great, you know, what a great tool and what a great way to just create a culture that is more inclusive and does have every voice present and available. And yes, Jackie, I'm also the overtalker in meetings. So I'm in the same boat as you. We just chat too much, but that's also probably a podcast, you know.
I wanted to say that at the beginning when it was like, oh, like women and minorities, I wanted to say that don't have Jackie and Katie in them.
Right. Yeah. I was saying.
Yeah. Oops, my bad.
But no, I mean, I think it is, we all know the stories. We've all heard so many of the situations where someone wasn't only in a meeting or in a room and they didn't speak up or they didn't share an idea that was a great idea, or they shared an idea and it was overlooked. And we know there's so much research about, you know, a woman saying something or a person of color saying something and, you know, white male saying the same idea 2 minutes later. And it's like, oh, that was the greatest idea ever, Bob. And so, you know, things like that, that we know from research is happening, and how can we help to combat that and to make sure that everyone's voice is heard? Because again, it drives innovation. It drives better things for the entire group and for the culture and all these things. So Andres, yes, what would you like to make sure that our listeners heard? What are the things that you think are critical for this episode that, you know, you want to share with folks?
Oh, so many things, but I guess you have to point at one is, you know, somebody told me this, if you train how to, you know, like kind of hit the ball whenever you're golfing and you do it wrong, instead of actually getting better, you get worse. And I believe that this goes in the same with DEI. If you implement it wrong, it actually backfires.
Oh,
yes. It doesn't help the rest of the organization and actually perpetuates this broken system. Mm-hmm. So to me, it's like, we don't have to reinvent the wheel, but we have to pinpoint to what is the drivers that are creating that systematic, you know, behavior and that systemic situation that is we have been for so many years. So I guess, you know, it's like measure your progress, mm-hmm. implemented, use tools that are able to help you not only provide feedback for the rest of the, for your team, but at the end for leadership into, you know, because for leaders, they see most of the time they see numbers. But if you have a tool that, and it not necessarily has to be a us, but a tool that helps you measure, but also provide a return, then you are in the next phase. So.
Awesome. I love that.
Jackie?
I kind of want to take what Andre said and say, we don't have to reinvent the wheel, but you have to recognize you really don't have a wheel. What you have is not a wheel.
Like, you have some sticks. You have
yes. So invent something. You don't have a wheel. Quit trying to tell me it's a wheel when really it's a square rock. Yes. And how do we know the difference is by doing that analysis and doing a deep dive and digging into the data so that you can make data-driven solutions. I think that it's going to have the most help and impact. And then continue to measure until you get to the right equation. It's important. What about you, Katie?
For me, it's, yeah, what you just said, Andres, is spot on for me. Is the, you know, you have to give folks the tools. You have to give folks the right way to do things. And how many companies have we seen do this wrong and make mistakes? And if, you know, whatever you can do to keep this front of mind for leaders to keep like, it's not a check and balance, but it is in a way, because it is, you know, like, hey, how do we do this the right way? And making sure that it's not a one and done. Oh, I went to this training, and so I'm going to be inclusive in this first meeting and then never talk about it again. But really giving them data, giving them measurements to say, how do we do this the right way? How do we do this even better? And I think the more data we can put behind these conversations, the better off we, you know, we'll all be. Because I think that's one of the pieces that we always hear. I was on a panel yesterday and they were talking about the business case, and that sends me straight over the edge, because we shouldn't be talking about a business case for DEI in 2023. But alas, we were.
Don't try to end it. How you going to try to end the podcast with that?
I'm just saying. We can talk about that later.
That's a different podcast.
Yeah, another episode.
New podcast. Who this?
Yeah. But I think it's one of those things that, you know, we need to give managers, give people the tools to do this the right way, or it's never going to be solved. And the comment of, you know, the systems and the process and the big brother, whatever you want to call it, that is guiding so much of this structure that isn't right. However, we can break that down and the tools that we can do to create a better environment, a better process, a better whatever you want to call it, I think that's huge. So thank you for joining us. Thank you for sharing. How can folks get a hold of you?
Yes. Well, thank you so much for this opportunity. I am a chatter as well, so I guess we fit right into these conversations.
Best friends.
Absolutely.
Please visit our website. Is www.tari.ai, and or you can send me an email to andres@tari.ai, and I'm on LinkedIn. I love to kind of just put things that are thought-provoking. And if you want to follow me and it kind of be in a journey that actually goes against the wave or against the river of kind of compliances, then do it, because, hey, we only have one life and might as well live it right and do the best that we can to leave our mark and to leave this world a better place than we found it. So thank you again. I appreciate this opportunity.
Absolutely. And folks, I'm going to say this, and I know I say this about pretty much every product, but this is one that do go to their website, do get a demo, because I it is really, really a cool tool that has been built. And I think it's going to be a game changer for a lot of folks and a lot of culture. So thank you, Andres. Jackie.
Yeah.
Happy Wednesday. Happy Wednesday, my friend.
Happy Wednesday, my friend.
This is the Inclusive AF podcast. My name is Katie Van Horn.
And this is Jackie Clayton. Bye.
Welcome, change agents, to your go-to place for stories that ignite your spirit, fuel your purpose, and connect us all. We believe in the incredible power of the human spirit, its boundless resilience, and the inspiration it brings to our lives. On the Driving Change podcast, we'll journey together through the extraordinary yet very relatable experiences of some of the most amazing people on earth. Our mission? That through these stories, we might just spark change within you and awaken a newfound motivation to harness your unique gifts to make a real difference in the world. So get ready to be inspired and join us on this incredible adventure. You can find the Driving Change podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or wherever you love listening to your favorite podcasts.